Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Jack Del Rio Show.
Your one-hour conversation with the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You're going to be tested. There's going to be adversity. How you persevere says a lot about what you're going to be as a team.
The Jack Del Rio Show is brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. To talk to the coach, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Or from outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, to get things started, here's the voice of the Jaguars.
The voice.
Brian Sexton.
Hey there, good evening. Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show. I'm Brian Sexton with you. We expect the head coach to drop by in a short while. The phone number, you know it, 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Whether you're listening here in Jacksonville, Orlando, Savannah, or anywhere around the world via the internet, we welcome your calls and comments. We'll say this, have been out and about in Jacksonville the last day or two since returning home in the early morning hours from the flight to Seattle. A lot of disappointed people, a lot of questions why. Not sure we're going to come to the bottom of that this evening. I mean, there's lots of reasons, and you know them. You don't need me to tell you them. You know, there are questions out there. You know, why did the quarterback not play very well? Well, we can look at the mechanics of it. He wasn't as decisive, didn't plant his feet and go. You know, why did Rasheen Mathis play that way? We're talking about a Pro Bowl caliber corner who really has played a tremendous first month of the season until getting to Seattle on Sunday. Again, not sure that there's an answer for that other than he was aggressive on the play that T.J. Hushmanzada got by him for his first touchdown, got beat for the touchdown to Burleson, overran it. Burleson cut it up the field. I don't know that you can answer it why. We'll do our best, and when the coach is here, we'll take your questions and turn the attention forward to the Rams. This may or may not surprise you. I'm probably like a lot of you, that over the course of the first 2 days, especially after a loss like that, I don't even want to read anything. You know, I don't want to go read Peter King's column on SI.com. I don't want to see what people think. Just want to get into the facts, the nuggets, not let the emotions of it drive it. And about Wednesday now, you start to get past it, and you start to look at what is and what isn't, and look at the next game, and you just don't let it go. I had one lady at the Starbucks just get in my face about this, and I just smiled, and I said, it's the toy department, ma'am. Sometimes you win, sometimes you don't. I think she wanted me to answer things a little bit more in detail than that. We'll attempt to do that for a while here this evening, and then we'll talk about the Rams, which is a team that many of you, like me, don't see all that often. Mark Bolger is returning, so there's a storyline for you. A couple of weeks in a row that they see a returning quarterback. This entire show brought to you by a number of fine sponsors. This portion brought to you by the folks at Best Buy. Remember to stop by the brand new Best Buy, which is here in Jacksonville in the St. John's Town Center. Just looking forward now, Jaguars and Rams Sunday, and that kicks off at 1 o'clock here at the stadium. Good seats are available. You hear all of it on the radio. We'll get things started for those of you in Jacksonville at 10 o'clock in the morning with Jaguars tailgate. Bring the rest of the network into the fold at noontime on Eastern Standard Time. And then, of course, we will have kickoff whistle-to-whistle coverage of the Jaguars and the Rams. Let's do this. Let's take our break. The coach has arrived, and we will return from this quick commercial timeout with the head coach for the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Good evening and welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show here on the WOKV Jaguars Football Network. The head coach steps in now, and of course we'll grab your questions and comments as we move forward over the course of the hour. I will share this with the listening audience this evening. Last week, I said to Jack after a 20-point win, we were talking about it when it was good, and he said, I'm going into the cave, going in, focusing in. It's easy not to get distracted over the course of a week because you have work to do. You can get insulated in the cave. So that's a 20-point win. 40-point loss, cave is still there. Nothing changes, does it?
No, just obviously, you know, you don't feel as good, but no. you go to work. I mean, that's what we do in this league. I mean, you know, you get so many examples week to week I get the biggest kick out of watching the broadcast because, you know, week to week they're going to crown some team, and then next thing you know they've lost two in a row, and they're not crowned anymore.
Right.
And then they're saying what's wrong with them. And then they bury another team. We saw a game last night, or Monday night, whatever night.
Last night. Okay. You lose track of time when you land at 3 in the morning.
Last night. I mean, you know, the Jets were 3-0 two weeks ago, and they were being anointed as the next greatest, and then the Dolphins were written off. And then, you know, now all of a sudden the Dolphins win, and they've won two in a row. And how do they feel today versus how do the Jaguars feel today? We're both 2-3.
Sure.
And that's just the way the league is.
Right. So I've got a lot of people that have said to me over the last 2 days, so what happened? How are they going to figure it out? You don't go searching for an explanation in any other different way, do you, than when you look at the tape after a win? It's all right there.
Make our corrections.
Correct?
Make our corrections. Look to be better with the next opportunity we get. That's what you do.
Right.
All right. And I've got a little form for you, a little hurt feelings report. You can fill it out.
Okay.
You can.
What do you email?
Well, I mean, there are different options you have. You can call your mommy. You can admit you're a crybaby. Other different things, or you can just move on like a man.
Sure, and that's what the coaches and players are going to do this week as they get ready for Week 6,
right,
which is the St. Louis Rams, and they come in here this week.
That's right.
Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
And
home,
you know,
game.
I pointed this
game
out.
Game number six, week six.
And I pointed this out, that the Colts left here in 2006 after you ran over them for 375 yards and won 44-17. And I can remember thinking, well, I guess that's about it for the Colts. You know, we've always known in the NFL that you better be able to stop the run if you want to control the tempo of the game in the playoffs.
I remember another one for you.
Okay.
Let me remind you this one. 41-0 at home. We beat the Jets.
That same year, 2006.
Okay, do you remember that
year? Oh, I remember that.
All right, that was the worst team ever, right? That's what was said after we beat them.
Yeah.
They went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they went to the playoffs.
They turned around and won 10 games.
They went to the playoffs.
Right.
They were written off as the worst team ever.
Right.
Okay? We got no credit for beating them. They just were a bad team.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then they went to the playoffs.
Right.
So what does that tell you?
It tells you that it's one game.
That's exactly right.
Tony Dungy made the comment, and I'll never forget this. He said, we're just going to go back and do the things that we do better. And I'll be honest, I remember thinking that was an overly simplistic way for an NFL coach to describe how he was going to fix what appeared to be a horrendously inept run defense. And I was completely wrong because 6-7 weeks later, he held the Vince Lombardi trophy above his head down in Miami, having won the Super Bowl.
And what led the way? Their defense.
Yeah.
They played great defense through the stretch. So
the message to a lot of people then is calm down. It's
no, well, I mean, I can't control that. You can do that. You're out and about. I'm in the cage.
Well, I was trying to back people off in the Starbucks line. In fact, at one point I gathered everyone around and said, can I just say this once real quick? And gave them the Dungy story.
Mm-hmm.
But so when people hear you say.
That didn't help, though, did it? Not really.
Well,
Did you get cream in your coffee?
No, I got out okay. I just remember thinking, all right, let me just explain this one time. And the reality of it is, well, I'll tell you this, I did like the passion.
It is passion.
You're looking for passion.
That's right.
And sometimes passion comes from a big loss. Sometimes it seems, Coach, the Dungy, the Jets example, is as you gain a lot from a loss, big or small. Sometimes a big loss can teach you as much as a big win.
I'd much rather learn
from the wins.
But I understand. It's the reality. We've got to deal with it.
355-NFL-1, if you'd like to weigh in with the head coach. Grab a couple calls here in segment number two of the Jack Del Rio Show. And then we're going to dive into the St. Louis Rams because, to be honest with you, it's not a team that a lot of you or I know all that much about. Just starting to get a glimpse of this Rams team because we haven't seen them since 2005.
I think the people that want to call up and complain and whine about things, they ought to call tomorrow night.
Okay.
You guys will do a better job handling those calls than I will.
Well, the man who sits in the chair on the end will. I think that's probably why they won't. No complaining, no whining, honest questions, folks. We expect that from this audience. 355-NFL-1. We've got Nicole, who's down the road in St. Augustine. Hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
Hi, Coach Del Rio. Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Nicole.
I will not whine or complain because my husband was a high school football coach for many years, and I know the dedication that it takes, and your job is to pick these guys up, dust them off, and send them back out again. So my question for you is, what do you do as a coach now? What's your goal? What's your next step? How do you get in there? What specifically are you going to do to inspire these men to pick themselves up and to, you know, get back out on that field and do their best?
Well, that's a great call, Nicole. I appreciate it. And great perspective coming from a coach's wife. Well, what we do right away is first of all, you know, right after the game, you have to take accountability for it not being good enough. So as I told the team, I didn't do a good enough job preparing you. We did not coach well. We did not play well. We're all in it. It was not acceptable. This ought to be a very quiet ride home. And it was. And then Monday, I brought them back in, and I said, guys, we're going to look at this film and make the corrections. We're not going to have a beatdown session. I think we all feel bad enough right now. We need to learn what went wrong and why, and we need to be better, and we get a shot next week. And so get out of here when we're done with this correction and get back Wednesday with a lot of energy. And that's what it is. And so that we've already begun that process because you have to get up. You have to pick yourself up. We don't have time for pity parties. We don't have time to feel sorry for ourselves. Just like when we have a big win, we don't have time to carry on and celebrate that for days on end. We've got to move on to the next week, the next order of business, and that's what we'll do.
Coaches' wives certainly do have perspective, don't they?
Better than anyone else to understand, because that awkward silence they have to deal with and the rotten moods and all the different things. They sacrifice just as much, if not more, than the coaches.
And your wife, Linda, is super competitive. Super competitive.
Oh, yeah.
I bet you were glad that she wasn't on the ride home. I'm just kidding. But anybody that knows Linda knows how much she loves football, how right. competitive she is.
Yeah, she'll definitely give me an earful. That's
for
sure.
She knows the game. All right, we appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Grab another phone call. Let's go with Greg, who joins us from the West Side. Hello, Greg. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Hey, Coach, how you doing today?
Good. Hey, Greg. Good evening.
Hey, I would like to. I got a couple of questions I'd like to just make. If you'll just.
Greg, we're up against a break. I need you to choose your favorite and get right to it, please.
Okay, no question. When you guys go to an away game, is it standard practice for everybody to drive themselves to the airport, or do y'all sometimes do the thing where you go to the stadium and take a bus over there?
No.
And that's my question.
Okay. Typically, all the players and coaches drive themselves. And then we you know go through the screening, get on the plane, and travel. And then when we come back, our cars are there, and we're able to get on them and go. Now there is typically sponsors or there is a bus that goes. The Jaguars do take, but players and coaches are not mandated to be on that bus.
Hope that answers the phone call. 355-NFL1, obviously referring to Quentin Groves on Friday, but it is standard that players and coaches can drive. Let's grab. Might as well go in order. Let's grab Sandy over on the West Side. Hello, Sandy.
Hello there. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a senior with limited means, but I'm very much a Jaguar supporter. I don't mind listening to it on the radio. It's great.
Thank
However,
you.
However, I wondered if this poor performance was a combination of maybe a team effort or certain members of the team to make a statement against coaching or management or some type of an internal struggle?
No, but thanks for the call, Sandy. I appreciate it. I don't mean to make light of it, but no. It was not a statement. It was just a poor performance. And if you need somebody to blame it on, feel free to blame it on me. I have no problem shouldering the blame. It's where it goes. The head coach, when you have success, it comes here. When you don't, it comes here. I have no problem with that. So put it on me, and if that makes you feel better, that'll be fine by me. But we're going to get on with our business. The reasons we lost are because we didn't play well. And I think to make too much about any one person, one incident, one thing is not accurate. It's not fair. It's not realistic. And so, I think that's part of the whole deal about putting it behind you and moving on with your business is recognizing the reality of it and moving forward.
Appreciate the phone call. We're due for a break. We'll take it now and return with more of the Jack Del Rio Show after this on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show here on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. Jags take on the Rams on Sunday, 1 o'clock kickoff. You'll hear every play whistle to whistle, plus pregame and postgame. We'll start things in Jacksonville at 10 a.m., games at 1, postgame around 4 o'clock, so don't miss any of it. Back to the phone lines, Russell joins us from the Middleburg area. Russell, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Brian? Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
Look, a question for the coach. My question is that are we in a rebuilding year, or are we in a year that we're just not getting done, or the skills players are not getting done, coach? That's my question.
Okay, Russell, appreciate the call. Well, let's examine it however you'd like. You can draw your own conclusion. You know, our feeling is this. Just look at our roster. I believe we have 29 or 30 new people from last year.
27.
All right, 27 new people from last year.
11 new starters, 13 rookies.
Okay, so there has certainly been a changing of the guard at least. Okay, now as a coach, I assure you, and the players, as players and coaches, we're in it to win every week, okay? And we're not going to use young or there's been turnover as a reason why we can't play well. But the fact is we have turned over a lot. That's what we are, and we're in the midst of that. You call it what you want to call it, rebuilding, retooled, recommitted. There's some re's out there that we are reinvesting our energy is what we're doing. And right now, in the first five games, we've won two of them. And we played well in spurts. We played very well in spurts. And we have not been consistent enough for my liking, nor for our record's sake. But so our mentality is we're going to bust our butts every day. We're going to work hard, all right? Players, coaches, players out there on the field, putting in the time, in the workouts, all the things. The commitment here has been excellent. And the coaching has been strong. And I can just tell you that we will continue that. We're an improving football team. You don't know that. You don't feel that based on last weekend.
But we did the 2 weeks before.
Yeah. 2 weeks before we were being celebrated for it. But I'm just telling you, this is a football team that is young and improving and will continue to improve throughout the course of the year.
How do you coach consistency? I mean, you talk about being consistent week in, week out. How do you achieve that as a coach with your player, young or veteran?
Well, here's what you do. You stress things. You're consistent in what you're stressing. You give guys an opportunity to be that consistent player you're looking for. And ultimately, you know, you make it competitive. I mean, you know, where you're playing the guy that does it more consistently. And we've made some of the jobs on our roster, we've made them very competitive. And I think we have increased the play in some areas. And we'll continue to work to do that.
355-NFL-1. Russell, we certainly appreciate your phone call. We move it right along, and we go to Junior, who is up in Buffalo, New York. Hello, Junior. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi, Brian. Hey, Coach. Pleasure to talk to you. My question is on the defense, especially pass protection. It seems we're struggling so far this year with the pass protection, and it seems like we're losing it man-to-man more than zone coverage.
You're talking about pass coverage?
Correct.
Okay.
And it looks like it seems that we're not getting the rush in on the defensive line.
Right.
And if like 4 or 5 seconds, I'm counting, then that you're really not going to be able to hold a man that long after 3 or 4 seconds.
That's right. I think, as I mentioned yesterday in my press conference, and I'm not sure whether it made it to the actual print or not, or to the airwaves or not, but I think football is the ultimate team game. And as I said a few weeks back when people were asking about our pass offense, it's a combination. It's not just the quarterback. It's not just the line. It's not just the receivers. It's when you do it all together in unison that you have efficiency and you have, you know, good results, okay? Same thing with defense, all right? If our rush is strong, it may cover up some poor coverage. If our coverage is great, it may buy time for a bad rush. But if you have one or the other dominated, you can get away with a play. If you have both solid, then you can play good defense consistently, and that's what we're after. We're looking to have good rush and good coverage and have them go hand in hand. And I'll be honest with you, we've been close. We've played well in spurts. We have not had it near what we're expecting, not near what we're working toward. And obviously it's an issue we're going to have to identify. We're going to have to hone in on. We're going to have to be better as we go through this season in order to have a chance to have success. We are stopping the run in critical situations.
Right.
Yardage-wise, we've given up a few chunks that we shouldn't. but we are not a defense that can be run on down the field, all right? But pass defense has to pick up.
All right, and the rush is the part that everyone points to. They look at the four sacks, and they say you can't win if you're not getting the quarterback more often.
Yeah, I agree.
So how do you create more sacks when you're not changing players, Coach? I mean, what is it that you have
rush
to do?
Rush better, cover better.
Well, when you say rush better, we're talking about technique. Is that what you're
talking about? Finishing. I mean, we're draped on the quarterback. You know, on the first field goal they kicked in the game on Sunday, we were draped on the quarterback on second and third down.
Right.
We had a shot to knock him out of field goal range and didn't get either sack.
Now, Bill Smith was there a couple of times close.
That's right. So, I mean, that's just a situation where a guy does everything right and doesn't finish right there. And he'll finish that. You know, we just – that's how close it is to having two more sacks. Right. And, you know, and so Harvey beats his guy like a drum. And then the coverage doesn't hold up. And so he ends up getting a quarterback hit or a quarterback hurry instead of a sack. Those are the kinds of things that go hand in hand. You know, that's part of team ball. You know, when coverage is there while Harvey's making a great move, boom, you got a sack. Everybody's saying what a great job Harvey did. Well, it wasn't just Harvey. It's also the pass defender. It's sure. Also, you know, Derek Cox doing a nice job or whoever it is back there doing a nice job. So, like I said, it goes hand in hand. The guys want it very badly. I can assure you that.
Appreciate the phone call, 355-NFL1, if you'd like to join us on the Jack Del Rio Show. Let's step aside for another break. As we go, we'll remind you that you can vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. That means club seats to a Jaguars home game. All part of First Down Touchdown Teachers, and you can find out the details at communityfirstfl.org. More after this on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1. Or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. Brian Sexton with the head coach. Talking about Sunday's loss, disappointing as it was. Looking forward to the Rams on Sunday. We'll get to some of those questions in a couple of moments. Let's take a few calls. Let's grab John from Palm Coast. Hello, John. Welcome to the Jack Del Rio Show.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi, John.
I real quick, Coach, I just wanted to ask conditioning of your players. I know you guys do a lot of workout, and I know you guys have a lot of conditioning. Do you have any plans to up that at all?
As a punitive measure, John, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, I guess you could say as a period measure. Also, just, you know, players in general, you've got a line that isn't performing 100% all the time. They do perform and they do a great job, but it seems to be sporadic, and I'm just wondering if conditioning might be a part of that, and not just for the line but for everyone overall.
Okay, I appreciate the call, John. Thanks for your interest, and thanks for giving us a call tonight. I would say this. I believe that our team is very well conditioned. We had a grueling off season. We had a very tough camp. It's been 95 here, 90, 95.
Last week you had 103 on the heat index one day.
Yeah, the heat index has been unbelievable. We and our guys go out and work 2.5 hours each day in practice, putting in plenty of sweat and effort and energy. I believe our condition is very strong. In fact, I think if you look in the fourth quarter of our first three games, we outscored our opposition. They didn't score at all, and we scored 20-something points. We gave up a garbage score in the last two ball games, but it had nothing to do with conditioning. So I think the conditioning actually is pretty good, and that's one of the areas I'm very pleased with. I think the guys have worked extremely hard, and I think that part has paid off for us early in this season. But I do appreciate the call.
Appreciate the phone call, 355-NFL1. Andrew's on the south side. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hi, Coach. Just had a quick question. I was wondering, with all the challenges on this last road trip, would you consider possibly not flying out the extra day? And also, after the rough Arizona game, we got to see a couple great performances and look forward to seeing that again. Thanks, Coach.
I appreciate it, Andrew. No, I obviously, you know, anytime something doesn't go right, i.e., you don't win, you get questions.
Right.
Like, you know, that's just part of the deal. But in terms of how we travel and the thought that goes into it, nothing occurred because we went on Friday. It just, you know, the things that occurred, a person on the way getting in a fender bender.
Right.
Anybody out there ever been in one?
Me?
I mean, that can happen from time to time.
Sure.
And I'm not trying to minimize anything. I'm just saying that let's keep things in perspective.
Right.
Okay. And the second thing occurred Saturday night, and I'm not going into specifics, but it didn't occur Friday.
Right.
So that's, every night before a game is Saturday night, and if we're playing on Sunday, and that's not going to be avoided regardless of what day of the week you travel on. So I think the bottom line is that you know, we will approach things, we will continue to do things the right way, and for the right reasons. And I think, you know, when you do that, then you can lay your head down at night knowing that you've done the right things for the right reasons, and find some peace in that. And that's how we'll continue to operate.
355-NFL-1. Andrew, appreciate the phone call. We move right along. Let's go to Jason, who's up in Hagerstown, Maryland. Hello, Jason. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Coach Brian, I just want to tell you, I've been listening, watching the team for 15 years, longtime fan, and I've seen a lot of people come in and out of our defensive line. And I've always noticed with Coach, you do seem to be defensive-minded. What would you think of bringing people like Paul Spicer or veterans that are still have something left back to help this team while they're young?
Okay, appreciate the call, Jason. Yes. You, 15 years, a long time to be following the team. Sure appreciate the support. I think Paul Spicer played a good bit of those 15 years.
Yeah, he got here in 2000, and this was the first year he wasn't here, so he was here for
eight years.
Full season, sure.
So, yeah, Paul was a good player for us in the time that he was here, and obviously we know that he went to New Orleans and it didn't work out for him there, and I'm sure he remains on the ready list for Gene Smith. That'd be something Gene would entertain. But, you know, at this point for me, I'm working the guys that we have. We feel good about Terrence Knighton being a good young player. He's going to be good for a long time. I think John Henderson's played very well for us. Derek Harvey, is last couple of weeks, has played very well for us. And so I think we've got some good young players that are actually playing pretty well. And I think the biggest thing is when you don't have the numbers, you know, the sack numbers, and pass defense being talked about,
right,
and you're coming off a loss where you're not hitting the quarterback enough, then those questions are asked.
Well, just as a service to Harvey, because the average fan looks at sacks and says, okay, where are his? You say he's played pretty well the last week. Can you share with us what it is that he's done that you like?
Yeah, I think, you know, Coach Lagerman likes to look at the film. He could tell you. I mean, he has consistently been very difficult to block. You know, when a tight end tries to knock him off the ball, he's knocking the tight end 2 yards in the backfield and making it nearly impossible to run on his side of the field. Those are the types of things that are very important for a defense to have, guys that can set the point, stack blocks, disrupt the running game. And then he has had some opportunities to be around a quarterback where if we get a little bit, you know, better coverage, they go hand in hand, he would have a little more production there. So I think he's approaching it the right way. He's working hard. He's a guy, as long as he continues to work the way he is, then the numbers will come.
Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL-1. Let's take a break. You're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on Jaguars Radio.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Welcome back to the Jack Del Rio Show. I want to talk a little bit about the Rams, but we just got a good question. So let's grab Michael from Mandarin with a thought for the head coach. Hello, Michael. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. Coach Del Rio, how you doing?
Hi, Michael. Good.
There's 1,700 people on the planet out of 605.5 billion that play in the NFL, of which only about half play a good deal of the time. And my question is, there's such a fine line in winning and losing. When you do lose, do you have a problem, or do you feel something in your gut that you do not want to face Wayne Weaver, or does he understand like you do that there is a fine line?
No, I think it's kind of like going to see your father when you've done something that might disappoint him. You know, Wayne's a great owner, a great man. I have a lot of respect for him. Obviously, he's my boss. That's never comfortable going in after a loss, ever.
Right.
But we try to meet each and every week, and I've always felt that it was most important for me to visit with him and hear what he has to say, any concerns or thoughts, because I'd rather him get his information from me rather than the barber or something. You know, see, somebody's going to talk to him. So
I'd
much rather him talk
Lady
to me
Starbucks.
Directly.
Yeah.
You know, person at Starbucks that was giving Brian a bad time might be on him. So, no, I want to make sure I do that. And I listen, one thing about being in this business. If you're not somebody that can, you know, man up and stand up and have conviction and have beliefs and stand strong through adversity or through some tough situations, you're in the wrong business. Because this is a tough league. The NFL is a tough league.
Well, you know, I never considered it until Michael put it in just those numerical parameters, but you're talking 6.5 billion people, 1,700 play professional football. And half of those are churning at the bottom of a roster, it seems like, anyway.
Right.
So you're talking about the best of the very best.
Right.
You're going to have Sundays like that.
Well,
even the very best.
You'd like to not, but that's part of the deal. But in terms of, is it ever comfortable? It's never comfortable. I assure you that. It's never comfortable. The demands are just too high, too great. And listen, I said it a while back. I mean, I think it was after a win, but you know you're alive.
Right.
If you follow the Jags, the highs and the lows now, I mean, you know you're alive because you're feeling the ups and the downs. And that's part of what makes this game great is the fact that you just don't know going into a game, you know, week in, week out, because the competition is that stiff.
I have to ask you, knowing the way that you approach your week on the football side, after a big win, is your meeting with Wayne pretty similar to a big loss?
Yes.
I mean, just in terms of the tone?
Pretty similar. Yeah. Well, I mean.
I mean, a loss is going to have a little bit more.
Yeah,
but.
But
I know how you approach things.
Well, yeah. Yeah, we have them, and we talk, and I think that's a very important part of the week.
Sure. So. Appreciate the phone call. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Let's talk just a little bit about the Rams, and they were always an offensive machine. Always. It changed a little bit. I mean, they're going through some roster reconstruction and putting things new coach in place. Mark Bulger has been out for a couple of weeks. They're talking about him coming back. What kind of a quarterback is he? Folks don't see him very often.
Yeah, productive quarterback, good decision maker, good arm. He's been highly productive in his career. I think he's like, you know, making sure he gets back for this opportunity. Because our past defense hasn't been very good, so I'm sure he's excited about that, probably licking his chops.
I remember right, he didn't play in 2005. He was injured in that game up there.
I think you're right.
Yeah, that day. So
I just remember Steven Jackson.
Yeah, yeah, he's really the guy that powers it now, isn't he?
He is really, and still does, and terrific football player. I mean, one of the elite players in the league, really a powerful, powerful man. And good person. I mean, I've met him a few times off the field at different events, and a good kid. And he's going to really be a challenge for our defense.
You know, the thing that amazed me watching him the last time you guys played him was, you know, you look at a guy that big and you think he's going to put his head down and just charge up the middle, but he can turn the corner too.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I mean, that was when you see a guy that big move that fast.
No, he likes to bounce out and straight arm people. I mean, he's got the strength and he's got the speed. So. No, he's a load, so we're gonna have to make sure we take care of him. And
two
then
or
make,
three bodies on him.
Yes, you need to get more than one person to the ball, no question. And then, obviously, you know, Bulger coming back will give them a lift, so we've got to be on top of our game.
355-NFL1. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more with head coach Jack Del Rio. After this quick timeout, you're listening to the Jack Del Rio Show on the WOKV Jaguars Football Network.
To talk to Coach Del Rio, dial 355-NFL1. Or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to the show. Here's Brian Sexton.
Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Back to the St. Louis Rams. New coach, Steve Spagnuolo. You probably remember in the last couple of years as the defensive coordinator of a very good team up in New York. What do you see from the St. Louis bunch when you watch them on tape on the defensive side?
A lot of energy and a lot of looks. I think they, you know, they have been very exotic, doing a lot of different looks, bringing people from everywhere with a lot of the fire zone principles and things like that. And so you're seeing more of the same. It's kind of similar to what they did in New York, just doing it with different people. And I'm sure he's got guys and they're still kind of learning the system and all that, but they're flying around.
He's got a couple guys you know. I mean, Leonard Little's a guy. Is he still bringing it like he has?
Yes.
We're talking about a Pro Bowl caliber
speed
rusher.
Good player off the edge. Yeah, Will Witherspoon.
That was where I was going.
I had him in Carolina. Yeah,
he's a rookie.
Had him as a rookie there and out of the University of Georgia and did a nice job for us there in Carolina back in 2002.
And they have a safety, and I have not yet mastered his name. Atagwe?
Sounds good to
me. Yeah, Oshimogo Atagwe. I'll have it down by Sunday. But they put the franchise tag on this guy, this free safety. Looks 21 is his number. I'm sure you've seen him on tape.
He shows up on tape. And, He's around the ball a lot. He's a little bit of a ball-hawking guy. He'll take off and make a play. Similar to like an Ed Reed where, you know, sometimes he'll leave his responsibility, it appears, and goes and makes a play. But he's very instinctive and has done a nice job for him.
355-NFL-1. Try and grab another call or two. Let's go with Jim, who joins us from the south side. Hello, Jim. You're on with the head coach.
Oh, hey, Coach. How you doing?
Good evening, Jim.
My question is about in the game, when you have a tackle that apparently gets missed by a defensive back and he doesn't even look like he tries to make an attempt that ended up going on for a touchdown, how do you get the player motivated back in when Mathis just went there to kind of an Ole and pushed the guy and he ran into the end zone another 20 yards downfield? What do you say to the player after that? Or they already know they've made a mistake, or do they end up having to practice tackling after that?
Well, yeah, all of that. Obviously, we've been working on our tackling. We did tackle a little better in the back end, but that is one glaring missed tackle that everybody saw. I think, clearly he understands got to make that play there, as does the safety that was in position. We've got to get that guy down.
Yeah, Kelde Alexander didn't pull him down either.
We've got to get him down. I mean, that's just part of playing defense. I mean, you've got to be able to tackle. You've got to be able to get that guy down, and that was a big negative play. And those are the kinds of things. Listen, nobody feels worse than the two guys who were involved in that. As coaches, we have to make sure that we instruct and that we demand and get better than that there. And that's part of playing the game. You know, plays are going to be made. The other team gets paid too. But certainly those are correctable things that we've got to eliminate.
You know, the hardest thing to explain to folks this last couple of days was Rasheen, because he'd had such a strong first month of the season. I mean, he took Larry Fitzgerald on and Andre Johnson on. You know, he's playing at a Pro Bowl level, and then he has a bad day. But as you said, everybody gets paid. Sometimes you have bad days.
Well, yeah, and I mean, he got a little bit of nicked up during the game. He's got some issues he's fighting through, and so, you know, I mean, that's part of it, though. You know, it's a bottom line business, and so. You know, you get ready for the next opportunity and look to be a whole lot better.
I know you got a meeting starting at straight up 7 o'clock, so we'll let you go. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Appreciate the head coach joining us, and you as well. We'll come back and wrap the show up right after this on Jaguars Radio. All right, so hopefully everybody feels better after the last hour with the coach. You could tell that he wasn't ducking any questions. Brought it right on, ready to move on. He brought up the Jets in 2006, who made the playoffs after getting pounded here 41-0. I wasn't saying that his team was going to do the same thing, but left open the possibility that they will play better this week. And, you know, it's a tough game on Sunday now because most people are pointing at the Rams and saying that's the worst team in football. And they haven't won a ball game yet, and they've got lots of new guys just like this team. You know, brand-new coach coming down here. It's a tough one now because you're going to have a lot of people pointing to you saying you should win this game. It's been interesting with this team this year. You know, I think they've played well in three games and had two bad games, and they're 2-3 to show for it. So we'll see what comes on Sunday afternoon. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff for those of you listening here in Jacksonville, and you will be listening, not watching. That means we start at 10 o'clock with the tailgate show, pick up the rest of the network at noon, followed by whistle-to-whistle coverage in the Winn-Dixie postgame show and your participation in the scoreboard show. Thanks to Joe Fortunato, and thanks to you for taking part in the show. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been the Jack Del Rio Show, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company, Ticket Exchange, and Community First Credit Union. Join us again next Tuesday night at 6 for your chance to talk to the head coach. The Jack Del Rio Show is a presentation of the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.